Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning again. We are amazed at the mercies you have poured out upon us, and we just pray that you continue to do that. We thank you for the Son that you sent to die on the cross for us, and we just praise you again for that. We pray that you would help us to be ready and willing to share it with others. We just want to pray for our leadership today, God, and I want to pray especially for our national leadership. I pray that you would just help them to make decisions and turn to you, God. We just, again, pray for that. And we pray for our local leadership here, and thank you, God, for being with us. We pray that you would just continue to watch over us, give us guidance and wisdom, and just pray that you'd help us to make decisions that would honor you. We pray for those that might need your helping and healing hand and maybe your comforting hand, God. We just pray that you be with those and lift them up to you today. Thank you again for watching over us. These things we ask in your Son's name.
Amen. Mr. Strahan, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to call to order the Taney County Commission meeting June 29th at 9:02 a.m. No public comment. Any commission remarks? Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 344714 through 344723, 344725 through 344792, and check number 344648. Left out check number 344724 due to it already being paid with a credit card. Warrant 6272 and three transfers for work completed by Road and Bridge, one for Extension Office, one for Mincy Schoolhouse, and one for Transfer Station, Scalehouse, and Mechanic.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of payroll.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of previous minutes.
You got those dates, sir. I read through them, but I didn't write the dates down.
Move to approve minutes dated June 22nd, 2015.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'll vote aye on it. I wasn't here, but I read through them.
Aye. Motion carries. Branson TIF payment.
I called and checked with some other counties and cities, and I guess the opinion that I got from them, none of them were paying the TIF to the cities, the extra payment for the percentage. So I don't think that I can vote to support that.
How much money is those TIFs making the county in those other cities and counties?
Well, I didn't ask them those questions.
I'm looking it up real quick. I think we receive over $1.5 million because of one TIF that we actually receive. So I think, you know, paying them, and it's, again, it's a different issue. It's not, you're comparing apples to oranges. let's focus on real quick.
Well, I would make a statement that probably would not be very favorable to people in the city of Branson or whatever, but I'm not a very big TIF person. This county commission and former commissions fought the TIFs pretty solid.
But we're not.
We get two different opinions on that.
Well, I'm trying to find something.
Brandon.
The only thing I'd have to say to that is you've got. We're not talking about a new TIF. We're talking about an existing TIF. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an existing deal that's been going on for I don't know how many years. Something that I'm assuming you agreed to. You were part of the original commission that agreed to do that, were you not?
No, was not. That was already established.
That's already established. What about the last time that this came up, that they went ahead and decided to pay out that 1%?
There was an attorney's opinion given to us that directed us in that direction.
And do we not have that same attorney's opinion still?
We do. We do. You know that I'm rather bullheaded about those kind of things, Brandon, and I just, I guess the way that I see this, we have two different opinions on TIFs.
And no, I'm not a fan of TIFs. Now, they can be used properly, they're good, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the 1%. We're not talking about a TIF.
Okay, I'm going to give you just a little example of what you're saying. I sat here during the building the judicial facility, which was after the initial TIFs were passed, and we had to take our money that was already established and give it. We took the TIF, took our money, our tax money for the judicial facility, and so that was kind of a sour spot with me. So I mean, what I would say with all respect to you, Mr. Williams, is you know where I stand on it now, and I've done my due diligence on the research on it, and what I would say is you'll need to convince Mr. Schofield.
The problem is the only ones that lose out are the citizens of Taney County, if there is a fight. So if there is a fight, the only ones that lose out is the citizens. Because then you're going to start paying attorney's fees. The city's going to start paying attorney's fees. It's going to rack up. And the amount of money that it's actually brought into our area because of those specific TIFs, like them or not, and I can't find the email, but I've got all the information. I want to say it's around $1.5 million a year. So if it were not for the TIF, we would not be getting that $1.5 million. So I think it's worth a $20,000 investment to get $1.5 million worth of revenue a year. That's just for the county. So then my question is, are we going to move forward with an Attorney General's opinion? Are we just going to not, you just not want to pay it at all? And
If you want to request Attorney General's opinion,
that's probably not going to happen because the Attorney General more than likely won't even pick it up because they don't want to fight this. They don't want to deal with this. 5 years later, they might. But we're not going to get a speedy answer on that one either. So we're still going to have the problem.
Well, if we had one, I would. If we had an opinion from the Attorney General's office that stated that we needed to pay it, that would give me some grounds to go ahead and pay them the monies that have been held back from them. But
so you're putting more faith in the Attorney General's opinion than you are our attorney's opinion, which are both just opinions. Move to continue paying the Branson TIF as we have in years past with the 1%.
Do we have a second? A second motion dies.
You do know you can make a second. Okay.
TIF programming and new entities costs.
Gentlemen, as you're aware, the Branson School District voted and approved a resolution to have the Branson School District annexed into the Ozark Technical Community College, commonly known as OTC. There are four tax increment financing districts within this district that the county collector collects taxes for under revised statute 99.845. All real estate taxes collected within the TIF boundaries after improvements are to be paid to the TIF district. On August 28, 2014, the above statute was amended to allow any increase in a district's levy rate to be decided by the district voting the increase who would receive the levy. Based upon above statute, the collector had the question by the annexation of Branson School into the OTC boundaries. Who would make that decision? Does the OTC decide if the monies collected by their levy go to the TIF district or to the OTC? With the commission's approval, the commission's attorney was presented the statute for his opinion and direction to the clerk and collector. The commission has Mr. Cotty's opinion giving that authority to the OTC board. The assistant chandler of the OTC requested to receive a copy of the opinion. I received a letter from the chandler of the OTC district, which the commission has in front of them. Now, directing the collector to collect and distribute the monies collected from the levy to be deposited to the OTC taxing district and not recognize an existing TIF on the assessed valuation of the Branson School District. This will require new programming written for all aspects of the calculations of the tax book, delinquent file, tax statement, and distributions relating to the TIFs. The collector was given an estimate from Aldrich Software to cover the programming cost to be between $3,800 and $4,400. Per the agreement when signed on June 12, 2014, Aldrich Software's currently hour rate was $120. I would expect the cost to be paid out of the tax maintenance fund unless the commission wishes otherwise. If I do not hear different, then if the commission would approve, I would like to request that the attorney's opinion and letter from the OTC be entered into record showing the direction given to the county clerk and collector. Are there any questions?
Is that the way Hollister does theirs? They've got a TIF in place.
It wasn't in law when Hollister set up. I called the OTC to begin with, not knowing who would give me that decision. And this was August the 28th of 14, and Hollister was already into OTC, so they didn't have that choice at that time. And Hollister didn't have a TIF either, so that neither one of those were into play.
The question I guess I should have said is Hollister has a upcoming TIF with the new area that's being built on, I think. Doesn't it, Brandon?
I think it's an EATS, not a TIF.
I'm not certain on this, but go ahead.
Oh, I think it's an EATS, not a TIF.
Yeah, they're just collecting on sales tax, I think. I don't believe they're going after the property tax. I've not heard anything that they are.
Okay. All right. What do you need from us? It's just an opinion of whether to...
If you agree with the cost for it being paid for out of the completely out of the tax maintenance fund.
And entered as a matter of record.
And the decision from OTC that that they're not to... that they are to receive the levy that's collected from that letter to be entered into record.
That's a strictly a procedure that would be between you. It's strictly your decision to whether you want to make it or not, or you're just asking the commission to approve it as a like an accounts payable, come through accounts payable, the payment.
Are we talking about the letter being entered into record?
I'm talking about the payment. Okay.
The entire amount. If you want the county to pay the entire amount, then I would suggest it come out of the tax maintenance fund. Mm-hmm. Unless you gentlemen have a different opinion, if you think anybody should share in the cost.
I don't have any problem with what you're asking for us to accept the letter as documentation. Is that what you're asking? Because I'm a little confused on what you're...
Sheila is not in opposition of paying it out of the tax maintenance program.
Right.
She's just letting you know your options, that if the county commission wants to pay for it, they can, or you can ask the entity to pay for a share of it, or she can just accept the full cost on her tax maintenance. But we do need to have that entered into the record as a...
But if the entity decides, if we decided that we want the entity, then it would involve a contract that we'd have to have with that entity. And so I don't know that any of the other taxing entities that you collect for that you have a contract for with, do you?
The contract would just be to pay the... I'm assuming the contract would be just to pay for the programming fees. It's not an ongoing contract.
Right, but it's. I mean, if they're asking us for somebody to share in it, then there would have to be a contract. Otherwise, we don't even have to have a contract with it because it's your money that's coming out of the tax.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Okay, then, and the only thing is if we could enter, have it on the permanent record that OTC's desire, the letter that they have presented, so that when the tax bills come out and we start making distribution that, you know, it's just all understood and that what we're doing is per the statute and of the TIF and the recommendation, not the recommended, the desire of OTC.
Could you ask the clerk to put that letter into the record and we'll be satisfied again? It's already been entered, so we presented it to you, so technically it's been entered.
Yeah, that's it's a matter of public record already.
Yes. No, that's all she was asking for.
I don't think it is until we say it's, you know, if we haven't accepted, it's not public record.
Well, it's being maintained here at the courthouse, so it is a public record.
Naturally, I will keep it in.
So are our Social Security numbers. Those aren't public record. What is the question the attorney had was, is any additional revenue resulting from the increase in the school tax district levy to be deposited in the TIF special allocation fund? So that was the question presented. How does that correlate to this right here, the letter from from OTC?
They are okay.
They're not referencing the same thing, are they?
Yes, they are, sir. The statute says any time that, like, say, if Branson School were voting a levy increase, then Branson School would decide whether or not that increase in levy would go to them, the school district, or if it would go to OTC.
Okay.
But since OTC is a new entity coming into it, I didn't know if it would be the same as voting an increase in levy. And the attorney's opinion was saying, yes, OTC would be treated the same. And so OTC was to make that decision, whether they kept the 15-cent levy on that. And they asked how much assessed value was in that and how long the TIF was. And they responded from the Chandler with that letter that you have. That.
I mean, I don't care if you guys make that a matter of public record. That's fine with me.
If the auditors come and want to see why is this TIF being handled at this stage, then that is the documentation. I will naturally have it, you know, on my file, but they always want to see that it goes before the commission and the commission's aware of it. The left hand knows what the right hand's doing.
The way that I understand this is Branson can set the levy. And whatever they set the levy for, then a percentage goes to OTC. OTC doesn't set the levy.
I'm sorry. OTC, like in Hollister, when the people voted in that OTC would be part of their district, mm-hmm. then Branson voted in
right.
to be part of OTC's district. OTC's levy is 15 cents per hundred or 14.98. And it's OTC's levy. It's totally separate. And on the tax bill, it'll be separate than Branson School.
But they don't vote to increase. It's set at 15%. That's what I'm saying.
Cents. Yes. Uh-huh.
They're 15 cents.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They'd have to go back to the voters to increase it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when the people get their tax bill now, the difference will be is now the state gets their 3 cent on the tax bill. And if there's any surtax, it goes surtax. But everything else is under the TIF district, like Branson Hills TIF, all of them on their tax bill, it all reads that. Now, there'll be another line on there that will say OTC, and that amount of money will be reported on that. You'll have the state's money, OTC's money, and the TIF's money. The tax bill will be that away for that now. Now, if Branson School would use them, if they were to go to the people and get a levy increase, say, next year, and if they desired to keep that portion of the levy, then there would have to be a program just for that added portion because it was done
after the fact of the.
Yes, uh-huh. It's different than like what you were saying on the sales tax when.
That's one of the changes that a lot of people like yourself are fighting for with the legislator was to get some modifications in the TIF. So they couldn't come in and take all of the money that the Entity Act for new entities, they actually had a right to determine whether or not to keep that money or not. That was a positive thing.
Yeah. If OTC would have said, no, we want it to go to the TIF, then everything would just been left the same. The letter could just be entered into records.
Move to accept the Ozarks Technical Community College letter to the collector's office.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Amendment to Section 504, ADA Grievance Procedure.
I've seen a copy of this earlier that had the highlighted changes in it, and which were very few.
Okay. Yes.
I believe the only change that we were making
is the name. And
is the name. Rather than naming an individual's name, we named the position of Director of Human Resources.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the only change.
Move to approve the amendment to Section 504 ADA Grievance Procedure. Resolution number 6-29-15-01.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
MoDOT monthly update.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Start with construction. What we have had our contractors complete this year, we've had chip seals on 76 in the Bradleyville area and also on 376 in the Branson area. Those have been completed. What we have upcoming is we have a safety friction surface treatment that's coming up on 65 near Saddlebrook. Those will be in both northbound and southbound lanes. We have historically had a crash history there, even though there's lots of signing and different things warning you about those curves on 65, we still continue to have an issue, so we chose to pursue some high friction surface treatment there to try to keep people on the road. Upcoming, obviously, the big one is the Bull Shoals Bridge. It's still on schedule for 2017. No changes there. We are pursuing the new bridge construction on the west side of the existing bridge. That decision was made based on the power lines being on the east side of the existing bridge. So, a couple of projects that are ongoing that we have basically been involved in because they're on our system, but they're being done by the city of Branson. We're looking at phase two of the downtown Branson project right now. They've got some plans into us for approval on that. And then the city also has the Spirit of 76 project, which is the basically from Shepherd of the Hills to 65. They're currently working on what we're calling phase 1A, which is right around the Gretna area. Their current plans, I think, are to bid that in late fall or early winter to get construction started in the off season. So we're also in the area, not in Taney County, but in the area, we will begin work on the Kimberling City Bridge on Route 13. That work has been bid and awarded. The taking the bridge down to one lane with a signal at both ends to control traffic, that will occur after Labor Day. That condition will continue to exist until Memorial Day. We've got a bridge that's considerably longer than the one we did in Shell Knob. We did a very similar process in Shell Knob where we're replacing the driving surface and also doing some painting on what we call the splash zone, which is the area that tends to get the most salt from winter activities. So this bridge will, I think, be a challenge for our contractor to get done in that time frame, but that's what they've committed to, and that's what we've asked them to do for the community because it is a heavily traveled tourist route. So, and we've also been coordinating with the public safety folks to make sure we've got plans in place to allow for ambulance and fire and sheriff's department, that type of thing. Luckily, you know, here in the Forsyth area with that Bull Shoals Bridge, we're actually doing a replacement, so that won't be an issue for this community, but it's going to be a challenge over in the Kimberling City area. That bridge is so much longer and so much deeper than this bridge that the actual repair work on the Kimberling City Bridge is going to be about the same amount of work or same cost as what it's going to cost us to build the bridge here in the Forsyth area. Both of those are about an $8 million budget. To replace the bridge over in Kimberling City, if we try to do something similar, I was told it was, well, basically right around $100 million because it is so deep in that channel there. So that the best option was just to replace the deck and do the one-lane procedure over the extended period between Labor Day and Memorial Day. So that's it for construction. We are still, I think you all are aware, we're still under the 325 plan, which was adopted this spring by our commission. So future projects, once we have cycled through our commitments, which the Bull Shoals Bridge is a commitment, once we get past some of those commitments, we will only be working on the primary routes with our construction funds. So you will see, you know, if we remain in that mode, 65 and 160 are the primary routes in the Taney County area. So I don't know how much effect that will have because, you know, we've made commitments through 2017. We're looking at 2018 and beyond, really, for the effects of that program. So we'll see how that works. We haven't, obviously, legislative session is out until next year. We will continue to educate the public and work with our legislators trying to get some additional funding to basically meet that gap that we're going to have in matching funds for federal funds that'll start in 2017. And so we're going to work real hard to try to get that addressed. Not sure how that will go, but we have high hopes. And then on the federal fund, on the federal front, we're kind of under a continuation right now of the existing federal highway bill. Not sure where that will go in the future. Ideally, we would get a six-year bill, which is what has typically happened well in the past, but not recently. 6 years gives us some stability, lets us plan for the future, kind of know where we're headed. Shorter continuations provide funding, but they provide very shaky funding, and so you don't really know what direction you need to go. So we're hoping for a six-year bill, and we'll see where that goes. On the maintenance side, obviously we're doing the same things that the county's doing right now. We're doing patching and mowing and replacing pipes and doing all the things that you can do while the weather's good. So I think that's about it. I know that I saw in our news releases that we're doing some patching specifically on Route T today, but we're doing work throughout the county as the need progresses. So. Any questions?
On the maintenance side, I seen that the other day I was actually going to call you on some the must thistle projects, and I met your trucks going mm-hmm. out and spraying alongside the roads where they were thick and they were turned the next day. So mm-hmm. That in itself was has become a major problem for, I see in Springfield, mm-hmm. in the city there, that they have a major problem with mm-hmm. those mud thistles along the roadways. It's just, and it's not going to get anything but worse.
We've got knapweed, we've got thistle, we've got teasel that I've seen up in the Springfield area specifically. I know we have musk thistle down here, and knapweed are probably the two biggest ones that we're battling, and Johnson grass. Johnson grass is a continual battle. All of the moisture that we've gotten this spring is just like putting fertilizer on it. I mean, it's just taken off. We'll continue our spraying regimen, but we have, I'll be honest, we have limited resources as far as, you know, people to dedicate to that and still maintain the roadways and do the other things we need to do. But we'll keep fighting the good fight. We've got money set aside to spray, and it's more, to me, coming off of a farm, to me it's more a matter of finding the resources and the time to do it at the right time. And with the rain and everything, it's been, I think, a little bit of a challenge this year, just because, I mean, I've got thistles on my place that are 8 foot high, and I had just gone out 2 weeks before and removed every thistle I could find, you know, but that's just how it's been this year, so.
Yeah, and they're a real problem. But I bring up those small things that maybe some other people drive by and don't even notice that, but as, if you're spending literally thousands of dollars on your own property mm-hmm. and to try to rid the musk thistle or the other weeds that you named, and then the state or the county, which we have took an approach to try to keep those down in the county, it's very important. It's important to the rural areas and the farmer that spends his time and money to try to keep it addressed.
And the sweat equity.
Yeah. So, anyway, I've tickled to see you come by with that, and was working it. I know it's multiple times this year because of all the moisture.
Yeah. Ideally, you know, I'd like to see us be able to hit all that stuff before it ever gets to the point where it's that tall and you can tell it's out there. But I also know that you know, with the rains, it becomes a challenge, and with the manpower we've got, it becomes a challenge to get it all done before it gets to that point. But I would love for us to be the best neighbors and try to keep those down as much as possible, because especially, you know, the musk thistles are apparently here to stay. The knapweed has invaded, and we're still trying to fight a good fight against it, but it is spreading in a lot of areas, and that concerns me, because even where I live, there's some out on Highway 60, and it puts down a chemical that keeps other plants from growing around it. So once it gets started, it's very hard to fight. And so I really hope we're going to stay focused on those types of things. In any input that you have, I appreciate, because if there's a specific location that we're missing and we need to focus on, I have confidence in my maintenance personnel that they know what they're doing, but if there's something we've missed or whatever, just let us know.
It's one of those issues that doesn't seem to be very important. It's kind of like county government until you need it. And whenever you have that knapweed or those thistles end up in your yard, in which they'll spread the next day, and then you have that issue that has to be addressed, and everybody's mad at the county or they're mad at the state over it. So,
yeah. Like I said, my ideal situation would be for us to be excellent neighbors, because I know a fence has no effect on thistleweed. I've got a neighbor that fails to take care of theirs, and we fight it every year. So. We did have a gentleman contact us, actually more than one gentleman, but specifically a gentleman that lives near the commuter lot down there at 86 and 65. I've talked to our maintenance personnel. They've got some other activities planned, I believe probably around August, where we'll be down there with some equipment. Specifically, he was concerned about the security of the new commuter lot because of the way It was constructed. It's got kind of a berm around it. And the visibility as you're going southbound, I would say mainly, the visibility of that lot is not real good. It's well lit. It's well maintained. But he had concerns that, you know, people were hanging out there late at night and doing things they shouldn't be doing. So we've asked the Highway Patrol to add that to their circuit to make sure it's at least being checked. And then our maintenance personnel are going to take a look at it when they're down there with in August with some equipment because they've got another issue they need to address and see if we can't at least take down some of the trees or a little bit of the berm there right along 65 to make it a little bit more visible. It looks really nice. It's just not something we had anticipated as a security issue because it looks so nice, but that's where we're at. So we're going to take a look and see if we can't remove a few trees and increase the visibility some.
I was with a deputy one night. We pulled in there just as a kind of a turnaround check on things. There's three vehicles in there. When we pulled in, all three left.
Nice.
So it kind of makes you wonder, why? You know, if you're not doing anything wrong, why would you leave as soon as a deputy pulled in? But the gentleman that has contacted both of us. He's pleased.
Good.
He's noticed that the law enforcement's pulled in. So.
Good. Well, I know our maintenance supervisor there at Branson is going to be down there this summer to fix some drainage issues just north of the lot, and so he's going to take a look and see if he can't do something to open that up a little bit. So. And with it being well lit, I didn't anticipate there being issues, but apparently there were. So.
It's hidden.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's aesthetically pleasing.
It nice. Yeah, it looks very nice. And as a female, I had requested that it be secure, you know, have plenty of lighting, but I didn't think about the visibility from the roadway. So, okay, anything else?
Nope.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Board of Equalization appointments. We have two applications. We need to make one appointment, and I'll make a motion to appoint Gerald Kerbo to the Board of Equalization.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
You might make mention that Mr. Kerbo is a certified appraiser that we're adding to the board, which is very, very helpful in trying to make some of those decisions on property.
Would you like an update on the number of deals
you've got? It's not on the agenda. Just appointments is. If it would have been just Board of Equalization, I'd love to. Sorry.
Individually.
I think I heard upstairs a little bit ago.
Funding agreement for animal shelter and sanitary sewer improvement.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Are you walking with a little bit of a limp or a little soreness? Or did you work too hard this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big birthday party.
I wasn't invited?
No.
The Taney County Regional Sewer District has submitted a funding agreement for approval. The funding agreement is titled Animal Shelter Sanitary Sewer Improvements Project. This agreement would fund the engineering, design, and construction of approximately 1,000 feet of gravity sewer service line, extending from the district's pump station, Poverty Point Number 5, which is just downhill to the west of the animal shelter. And it would extend to the animal shelter, of course, that is located on Critter Trail. The amount of the funding agreement is $100,000. The Regional Sewer District approved the funding agreement on June 16, 2015, and the agreement has been approved as to form by the county attorney. And Brad Albritton, Sewer District Administrator, is here to answer any questions that you gentlemen might have.
This is to fix the problem that we had with the existing septic system a few months ago, whatever it was.
Yeah. Right. Approximately possibly three tanks that will be eliminated by putting this in. So the problem we had the other is quite extensive, the other problem that we were dealing with. So, and one thing that might be brought up, we have a funding agreement for this amount, but I think R&B probably going to help us out a little bit on that, and the cost may not run as high as what we've got, but it's covering in case we get into some problems with maybe not getting R&B to help out as much as we would like. So,
move to approve the intergovernmental funding agreement by and between Taney County and the Taney County Regional Sewer District for the Animal Shelter Sanitary Sewer Improvement Project.
I'll second that. Brad, I didn't think I voted on that when it came before the district, because I knew I'd be voting on this today.
I believe that's correct.
Yes. So. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Consulting contract for Taney County Collector.
No. Move to approve the contract for services for collector by and between the collector and Timothy Hutchins.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you for getting that done.
Looks like we'll go into recess till 10 o'clock, and at that time we'll be moving upstairs for a 10 o'clock executive session.